On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO Leslie Vickery sits down with Melissa Acton-Bazard, CEO and president of Chameleon Technologies. Melissa discusses entrepreneurship, the importance of resilience in business, and how she has stayed true to her vision for staffing and solutions development over the past 18 years. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing. I am so thrilled to have with me today on the Edge podcast, Melissa Acton-Bazard, the CEO and president of Chameleon Technologies. Thank you for joining us, Melissa.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Of course. Well, you're approaching your 18th anniversary. Congratulations. It's right around the corner. With Chameleon, having worked for other staffing firms such as Consultus and Volt along the way, did you always have the entrepreneur's bug wanting to go out on your own?
You know, I did always have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. I started at a young age by, you know, doing the lemonade stand and whatnot and having several other little businesses as a young person. And then when I was 28 years old, I actually started Chameleon Technologies, so back in 2000, and I had spent, as you shared, 5 years in the industry at other staffing firms and consulting firms, which helped me kind of solidify my vision for really wanting to start Chameleon Technologies. I knew what I wanted to achieve with my own business and set out on a mission to do it at that time.
That's fantastic. I guess being a fellow entrepreneur and having gone down the path myself, I spent quite a few years on the corporate side before doing that. So I love that you had a vision, the lemonade stand, and all the vision as far as when you got started. I do often see kids lately doing that, and I think, you know, good for you for starting early on this. But I'd love to hear from you. You know, we don't always take the time being entrepreneurs. We're so busy running the operations and thinking about what's next and building up our businesses and taking care of, you know, our teams and our clients and so forth. We don't always take the time to recognize kind of defining moments in our careers.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear from you, what was one of your most, I guess, defining moments in your career, and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been many defining moments, but if I think of one that happened very early on and made a big impact would be shortly after I started Chameleon Technologies. So again, we started in October of 2000, but right after that, we experienced 9/11 and the dot-com fallout, which immediately sent my company into a major tailspin. I had to make some quick decisions. I moved our office into my home. Myself and my small staff at that time all went without paychecks for a period of time, and I even considered getting another job. I knew that I was uncertain what was going to happen, and I thought, you know, I have a responsibility for myself and my family, so I looked at getting another job at that time. However, I, you know, just refused to let go of the vision of Chameleon Technologies and was fortunate enough to regain momentum with an opportunity at that time that was presented to us from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So that was kind of a pivotal time that allowed me to transition back into our old office space that we had moved out of and recently vacated. We moved back in there and were quickly able to kind of build upon that core account as well as grow the business in a positive direction. So I guess during that time, really resilience and perseverance. I learned early on that there's going to be many roadblocks and obstacles that will come in my way, but to stay true to the vision and know that sometimes you do have to make difficult decisions, like I did moving my office into my home and whatnot, but if you persevere and keep true to the vision, you can make it.
Some of the strongest leaders I know have persevered, and you know how you handle adversity really shows strength as a leader. So obviously you have not only come out on top of that, I would say you're actually also accomplishing something many staffing firms in our industry wish they could do. So two things really. First, you're extremely focused skill-wise, which I commend you on. That is something that a lot of firms will just take in recs and let's say that they'll be in the technology industry, but they'll service all and every skill that comes in, and it can make it quite a challenge to be an expert in something and find those skill sets. And second, you can deliver both staffing and solutions. So let's start on the skill side. So perhaps share with us how you landed on analytics in the BI space first and foremost, and how being so focused has paid off for your firm.
Yeah, I mean, I knew for a long time that I wanted to pivot and have a true project solutions offering for our clients. However, I also knew I wanted to focus on one core area and really dig in deep within that space, kind of as you just shared. So initially, I looked at our own data, you know, to determine where we had had the most success as a staffing firm within the IT roles that we supported. And I found that we were very broad within our IT staffing efforts. However, probably 70 to 80% was in the development space, but all different technologies and various industries. So what I did next was looked at, you know, the technology industry as a whole, where there's a large demand for services as well as innovation happening. And then I also looked at, for me personally, where my interests were. And throughout that due diligence process, it led me to focus on data analytics and business intelligence. I myself am considered to be quite a data geek, so it was an easy area for me to want to focus and dig deep into. So once I made that decision that that was going to be our core focus for our solutions project offering, then I looked at bringing the right players onto my team as far as data architect, DevOps, some really strong BI, in particular Power BI reporting developers, and started to build that team and the infrastructure around it to support that vision.
It's interesting, you know, having been in business now almost 18 years, and I'm sure over the years you've kind of honed in and fine-tuned this focus. I remember early in my career focusing on, I would write case studies back in the day for Cognos and different BI tools when I first started. And it's come really full circle, right? So at one time it was, everyone would think like this is the hottest thing, and then it kind of quieted down a little bit. But today, it's clearly one of the hottest spaces to be in. So kudos for you for not only being in that space today, but having the foresight so many years ago to focus on that area. I'm sure that helps from a branding perspective. The second point about being able to deliver staffing and solutions. And to clarify, not solutions where it's just an SOW that you're really kind of pushing through a different buyer and it's still staffing. This is really something where you've built a business on delivering a solution to clients. So just as a reference, I was reading through your LinkedIn recommendations and something stood out as it related to your business model. Someone had noted after consulting with her clients and teams to find out what makes Chameleon Technologies the best fit in the industry, I learned that her focus on delivering quality over quantity helps her clients maximize their hiring and increase retention. We're obviously in staffing, it can be very high volume and transactional. So how have you been able to deliver? A lot of companies struggle with this on sales and delivery, where you can do both the traditional staffing services and solutions-based work, and maybe define what solutions means to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, my business strategy is not that complicated. I've really focused on digging in deep and not broad. So, like we've talked throughout this discussion, is really specializing in what you know. So, we are an information technology staffing company. So, we focus traditionally on IT roles. And on the solution side, we have been very focused and siloed in the core vertical of data analytics and business intelligence. So as that accolade you mentioned references, the quality approach is really emphasized in our necessity to want to focus on quality with not just our clients, but our candidates as well. So very personal, hands-on, high touch types of relationships. I mean, a lot of the clients I work with today, I've known for 20 plus years in the industry. They've been friends. So that type of relationship has really allowed us to scale as a business and really created a foundation for the type of offering we have both on the staffing and the solution side. So So it's always been the foundation for our business model and ongoing success. As far as what solutions means to me, I think whether it's in staffing or through our true project offerings around data and BI, it's really truly to help our clients solve a problem or deal with a complicated situation. So we're providing a valued solution that will essentially help their business in an impactful way and hopefully with an immediate ROI. So that's really our model. So even, you know, on the project side, whether I'm meeting, because the data space, as you know, touches everyone. So it's really figuring out what the problem is for that particular group, whether it's marketing or IT or HR or finance, and then finding a solution that's going to help them immediately see that ROI and feel like we've been able to help them solve a big problem for their business or their particular department.
So something you said that really stands out to me, I guess, as a differentiator is that it's kind of thread through the DNA of your company with you being at the helm and really treating your clients that way and managing and measuring the business that way. It's not like you were in business 15 years and then decided, oh, we need to get into the solutions business and use the same sales approach you do for staffing on solutions. It's really something that is the way you interact and work with your clients and delivering what the best thing is for them. So I think that's an important message for people to take away.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
So you've primarily been making a name for yourself in the Pacific Northwest. Do you have any plans for geographic expansion? And if so, maybe share some reasoning behind your decision.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I mean, we have customers throughout the country that we support, both on the staffing as well as the solution side. However, yeah, our headquarters is here in Kirkland, Washington. And I'm not sure, you know, I go back and forth. With technology nowadays, we heavily embrace technology. We're able to service clients all over the country. We haven't done much globally. I may consider opening a couple of satellite offices, but really I've had great success with, I mean, most of our tools are cloud-based, and then the recruiting tools. And then on the development on our project side, that team leverages Slack and Skype and Confluence, and everything, again, is online, and they work a lot remote, so there's a lot of flexibility here. So I don't know. To answer that question, I think we'll continue to grow nationally as far as supporting some of our larger accounts and even some in the small and mid-sized market as well. But I'm not sure if we'll actually open physical offices throughout the country. So I hope that addresses the question.
Yeah, it does. And we actually have a very similar model at ClearEdge. We're headquartered in Chicago, but we have clients all over the world. So office space wise, we don't really care where people office out of as much as how we're servicing the account. And in today's world with technology and communication tools, it definitely is becoming more the norm than not, having dispersed workforces and executive teams and so forth across the globe. Really, it's really in how you can make sure from a culture standpoint, and as you rattled off a bunch of tools, we use Slack as well, you know, just making sure you're doing different things to build and maintain a culture that makes sense for your company while servicing clients. It no longer, I don't believe, to your point, that you need to have offices all over the place to do that. That being said, some companies are very focused on, you know, local and so forth. So there's some benefits, I'm sure, to that as well. But
our model
is very similar. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I agree with you.
So switching gears for a minute on your business side. So a lot of people who listen to our podcast are typically senior executives and business owners or within the C-suite in the recruitment industry. And I also had a business partner for another company that I used to run and always find it fascinating to learn from other people. I know you mentioned having a business partner in the past. Several people I talk to are always thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to go off and start my own company and do different things. What do you think people should take into consideration? Perhaps things that you wish you would have known when first venturing out, just deciding to go solo or with a business partner, perhaps two or three pieces of advice you would give to people thinking about that.
Yeah, and I have had partners. So I had a partner for the first 13 years. And then after that, I had two silent partners. And now, as of the last couple of years, I am the sole owner of Chameleon. So I've had a lot of experience in working with partners and how to navigate those waters. I would say if you can do it on your own, my advice would be to do so. I would hire the right folks to augment the skills that you're lacking. However, if you feel, you know, a business partner is a necessity due to your circumstances or due to, you know, the vision came from several folks, I would advise definitely have a clearly defined role for each partner in the company. So you want to ensure that everyone knows their role and you have agreement on who handles what. Whether they're silent partners or whether they're actively engaged partners in the business, I think that is imperative. I also think it is very challenging to co-CEO. I've been in that situation. And again, that kind of goes back to really defining what your roles are and who's going to handle what within the business as far as operations, staff, and decision making. You know, that's another thing is I would suggest that you discuss how you'll make decisions together, whether it's, you know, two partners or three, or depending on the nature of the business, you know, have a defined process and know how you'll deal with a stalemate, especially if you're 50-50 partners. I've found that if you haven't come to agreement on that, it can be really challenging because you have no recourse. So those are some of the little things I'd advise. I've learned a lot through the partnerships that I've had, but I think those are some key takeaways that I think are imperative. And some of the bigger ones, there's a lot of other little things I would suggest, but those would be some of the key points or things that I wish I would have known.
Right. And I would agree. I think first and foremost, we actually see a lot of companies who don't have agreements in place between the partners, and that's really unfortunate. I mean, everyone goes through a honeymoon stage, and at some point,
yeah,
you know, you may realize that things aren't quite as you thought they would be. And to get out of a situation like that can be pretty sticky. And then the 50-50 piece where, again, you feel like we're in this together and, you know, it should be 50-50, just making sure you have, if you have to do that, an agreement that really supports decision making and exit strategy if for some reason you decide
exactly.
it's not working.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty key. And I love your first point though, which is, you know, everyone feels like it's so exciting to go into business together and having these business partners and so forth. But oftentimes what you end up finding is the strength that someone else brings is something you could have gotten through a consultant or a full-time hire instead of giving away part of the company or having a business partner.
Yeah.
So really taking that into consideration is key. Everything you mentioned are some pretty tough lessons I had to learn as well. So thank you for sharing those.
Well, and one other thing I would mention is there's other ways to compensate someone. So maybe you want to bring in some type of partner, but you don't want to give them an equity stake. You could do phantom stock. There's other ways to compensate people and make them feel tied to the organization and not be, a stakeholder at that level.
Right.
An equity
yep,
stake. So just wanted to mention that too. I think people don't realize like, oh yeah, I could do phantom stock, or there's a lot of other ways you can compensate someone and make them feel really tied to the company and feel like a true partner.
Well, you never know. You may be getting some outreach after this on getting advice on the topic, so be prepared.
Sure. Definitely.
I'm going to switch gears on you again to a topic near and dear to my heart that I'm often speaking on, which is diversity. And you, Melissa, are very fortunate to be part of a small but powerful group of women who are CEOs in our industry. We actually did a quick study just from a list of top staffing companies, the top 50, and it appears as though, based on the information we could gather, at least, that the C-suite is comprised of about 73% men compared to 32% of women. And obviously, we're both very heavily in the technology industry and see that that's fairly common there as well. That said, within our staffing field itself, we have a lot of women who are in sales and recruiting roles and even mid-level management, but somehow that number just starts to shift when you see the senior rank. So I guess I just love your opinion on what we can do as an industry to better support women who would like to stay within staffing and advance in their career past that mid-level management range.
Yeah, I mean, just to start out, diversity is who we are here at Chameleon. We're a certified woman business enterprise, and our business is grounded in diversity. So I'm also very passionate about this topic. I think as a whole, we're seeing women are standing strong and united, and change is already happening for the better with regards to gender equality and supporting women overall. Within staffing, I would agree there is still a disparity, a little bit of gender equality, especially in the C-level suite. I think in general, it's important right now, as I shared with you, remote, you know, flexible workforce. I think there's such not just in staffing, but in particular in technology, because that's the bulk of the staffing that we do. There's such not enough talent out there. And that comes true in recruiting and even mid and executive management within our industry. So really embracing flexible and remote workforce, allowing women as well as men to really balance out their family and work commitments more easily with all the tools that we have to engage as a business and be accountable to one another. You don't really need to be situated in an office every day. In particular, about women looking at how to navigate the water and move into the C-level suite within the staffing industry, I think it's important to have a voice and be vocal about where you're at with the business, what's important to you, how to insert yourself into the conversation. At times, women can take a passive approach at the the decision-making table and be more you know, maybe not want to be vocal and be perceived in a certain way, but I think it's important right now that we stand up and we voice our opinions and we express our interests in moving up. And if we're not supported, that we find places that will commit to helping us kind of move in that path. I hope that's addressed some of your question. I kind of went in a few different angles with that. But
it does. I mean, you touched on a couple things that I think are really important. One is having a voice and using your voice. And if you do use your voice in your company and you feel like you're not being heard, that it may not be the right company for you. And the other thing you touched on with men and women having flexibility, just the onset of just updated paternity programs and so forth, because it is about equality and it is about giving women opportunities when they're coming back and making sure they're taken care of. But it's the family unit at large and at whole that we need to take into consideration. And the more we start thinking that way and acting that way, you know, yes, we have a ton of ground to make up for women, but I would argue on the same side for men, making sure they know it's okay to take a full paternity leave and to be there for their families and their wives and for our companies and our industry to support that, it'll actually help even out that playing ground a little bit as well.
I agree.
So I like to think, actually, just by even having these podcasts and just speaking on different panels and so forth, and having you, for example, in the role you are in within your company, that we're really helping pave the path for future generations of leaders within our in our industry. What advice do you have for someone just starting out?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, what I've always kind of viewed entrepreneurship as is really vision, perseverance, and drive. I mean, I'm sure like yourself, you mentor a lot of people that are looking to start a company, getting advice on how they might navigate those waters. And the perseverance piece is huge. I think a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I want to do this. But then when you explain, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that go along with that, sometimes that desire kind of dwindles. But I think one thing I would say, a piece of advice, is it's great to have a dream or a vision, but don't let that dream define who you are, meaning, or the area that you're focusing, meaning being open to having that vision change and modify to create a truly scalable business. I've talked to a lot of people that have this great idea, but they're so fixated on how they want to do it that it's not really a business that could scale. So I think being open, maybe you have that idea, that concept, but being flexible and consulting with people and getting meaningful advice to help you really take that core idea and make it into a business plan, a business model that you can scale. Also being open to ideas as a business owner and being flexible. You only know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And I still, at this point, am constantly seeking out advice from other subject matter experts and CEOs in the industry. I mean, they're only going to help you harness your vision and grow your business. Some people are kind of adverse to meeting with competitors. I probably every week meet with competitors in my industry, whether it's staffing, true consulting companies, and, you know, pick their brain on ideas of how they're dealing with employee issues or, you know, even changes with healthcare or how they're operationalizing their project offerings. You know, I'm constantly doing that. So I think it's really important when you're looking at starting a business is seeking out the advice of other people in your industry or other business owners. Those are just a few things.
You know, I think ironically, so mentioning meeting through competitors, I believe you were actually introduced to me through.
I was, yes. I mean, it's been great. I'm all about sharing information and paying it forward. And some people are fearful of that, but they're a competitor. And I mean, to be honest, some of the project work we're doing right now in our data and BI division, because I have such deep roots in staffing or for staffing companies, one of the pillars that we focused on, this is kind of a tangent, but one of the pillars that we focused on is a lot of staffing firms, a big pain point is meaningful analytics. So we have these ATS systems and sometimes they have bolted reporting on top, but typically they're incorrect, they're not meeting our needs, or we don't quite understand the business, or the analytics aren't real time. So we developed within our staffing space, there's a few ATS systems, applicant tracking systems that we've had a lot of experience with, and building custom API connectors to pull out all the data, start to identify, you know, the data where it lives, and then start to create single source of truth, maybe just with their applicant tracking system, their payroll system, their finance tool, whether it's QuickBooks or something different, and then creating custom dashboards in Power BI with real meaningful analytics. So it's been, I'm already helping a lot of my competitors by, you know, making sure they really understand their business, whether it's recruiting metrics, sales metrics, that they're real time, that there's one single source of truth, so everyone's not providing different KPIs. So we've done a lot with competitors to help them grow their business. And I think because of who I am and the trust that I've created, there hasn't been that fear. But wait, you're a competitor and you have all our data, you know?
Right.
So it really speaks volumes of how to collaborate and really help each other grow our businesses.
Well, so you may get some outreach on that alone. Just
I would love to help people on that. It's been of great value to some of my partners and very well received. I think a lot of people don't understand everything. I mean, big data has been around not that long, but just analytics and the BI platforms, they've been enhanced so much. So the tools, I mean, we can do Tableau, but our preference is Power BI just because I don't want to get into a whole tangent on this podcast, but the language behind Power BI is DAX, which is very similar to Excel. And Excel, you don't think of as a programming language, but it's the number one programming language in the world that's most used. And so it's really easy for people to get comfortable with DAX formulas. So unlike Tableau and some of the others where they have their own language behind the tool, DAX, again, is very similar to the formulas that you would write in Excel. So adoption rate and ad hoc reports are easier to generate, et cetera. But yes, so anyone feel free to call me if they want to talk about that. We've been doing a lot with staffing.
You can sense your passion about it and your
I love data.
Prowess on that front. That's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of future generations and kind of paving the path for them, I'm going to ask you a personal question here. When your daughter thinks back to you as a successful businesswoman, what do you hope she remembers most?
I mean, again, I kind of touched on this, but I hope she really recognizes the drive and perseverance that I had to make my vision for Chameleon Technologies a reality. I mean, it was a lot of work. And again, the industry and women business owners, the whole mentality has shifted and there's a lot more of us now, but there's still a disparity. So I hope she sees and doesn't really have defined gender roles. I mean, my husband up until recently has been primarily the stay-at-home dad. I really wanted her to see that there is no, you know, that we can all do anything we set our heart to and there's not defined gender roles. So I hope for me, she recognizes that perseverance that I had. And in particular, she sees, you know, that you do make sacrifices and there will be roadblocks, but you have to stay true to your vision and have that, you know, unwavering commitment to make your business succeed. Or if she's not a business owner, you know, whatever she does, that she has that commitment and perseverance.
So I'm not surprised often. And one thing that has surprised me over the past, I want to say, and Emily, who's here, she produces our podcast with me, the last, let's say, 5 to 6 podcasts that we've done, at least 75% of the women's husbands are stay-at-home dads, which has really surprised me. And it's interesting because I think people don't talk about it a whole lot and aren't very vocal or public about it. So it's surprising because you don't hear about it often. And then now I'm hearing about it all the time, which is fantastic. And again, to your point of just being able to wear different hats and have different roles, and it changes in some cases. In every case, it's almost been as one career takes off and then the other one changes, and then one will change and the other one will take off. It's finding that balance and being willing as partners and spouses to be flexible and to do that. So that's great. So I'm going to end us with a little fun here. When we do this, I think on every podcast now, we pretty much do this, and it always makes me nervous because I have no idea how you're going to answer. But I'm going to put you on the spot, Melissa, and end with a little fun. Tell us one thing I could not find about you online. So nothing. Tell us one thing that we don't already know about you that others may find surprising.
Well, you may find it on Facebook, but that would be for friends. But I am an outdoor enthusiast. I love the great outdoors, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. It's stunning. And you've been to Seattle. We talked about that. But in particular, camping. I'm a huge camping person, and we're talking tent camping, not RV and not glamping.
No glamping.
And everyone always is surprised by that. What? You camp in a tent? But yeah, I grew up camping, and it's something I've always loved to do. And especially when you're off the grid, it's even better. I'm like, kids, go play, explore, you know. And for myself, I mean, I just think it's so therapeutic to be out in nature. So camping is something I love, and we're actually doing our last big family camping trip this weekend. So last one of the summer. And yeah, so that's probably something people did not know about me. And
wouldn't expect, just that's fantastic. I love the outdoors as well. I will say I was a past camper, and today I haven't glamped before, but I could give it a try.
Well, a lot of my friends do. They pull up their RVs and we're in our little tent next to them. I'm like, whatever works.
Right, exactly. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us on The Edge today. How could people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I myself am on LinkedIn under my name, Melissa Acton Bizard. Chameleon is on Twitter. Our handle is Chameleon_tech. We're on Instagram, which is Chameleon Tech Inc. And we're on Facebook at Chameleon Technologies. But I'm sure if you go to our website, which is ChameleonTechInc.com, all of our social media handles are there, as well as our contact information. I'd be more than happy to have anyone reached out to me via my email, which is on my LinkedIn, as well as our phone number, which is 425-827-1173. So that's all of our places to find us. Yeah, we're out there for sure.
Love it. Well, thank you again, Melissa. I truly, truly enjoyed having you as a guest and look forward to staying in touch.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity, and I'll look forward to staying in touch as well.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email, and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.